Last year I had the opportunity to go back to Mundelein, Illinois, which is a suburb in the northwest of Chicago on the edge of that very large city where there are millions of Catholics, where my old seminary was that I studied for 4 years. Of course, when they built my old seminary there, Cardinal Mundelein didn't want the seminarians to be in the middle of Chicago with all the noise and distraction. He wanted them to be away from the city. So he built a seminary about back in those days in the 1930s outside of town. For about an hour outside of town, you had to take a train if you were from Chicago to get out to it. But over time, the town, named after the cardinals, kind of sprung up around the seminary, and as Chicago grew, it kind of swallowed up those suburbs also. And so today, if you go out to Mundelein, you'll see that it's quite densely populated. When I was there, it was a little bit diverse, but I was rather surprised when I went back last year. I had known my favorite restaurants and stores that I needed to go to get supplies, whatever it might be. I kind of knew where they were. But, you know, as 10 years go by, you kind of know approximately where these things are, but you maybe can't remember exactly. And that was the case for me. Obviously, when we travel, we're always forgetting a few things. And in Mundelein, it's not quite big enough that they would have a Target or a Walmart real close by. And so usually it's the mom and pop kind of stores, still small pharmacies, stuff like that. And so I thought, well, I need to get a few things. And so I went out, began to drive through the old neighborhoods that I used to drive through when I lived there. And I was very surprised to see that none of the signs were in English anymore. Even the Catholic Church in town had their sign totally in Spanish. Everything was in Spanish. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. The Hispanic community had really migrated out of the city and adopted that area, especially the town of Mundelein, as their new home, at least during the last 10 years. And it had become so Hispanic that they felt they didn't have to have signs in English anymore. And so I had to go back to my high school Spanish and try and remember exactly what things meant, because I hadn't been practicing for these years and had a lot of opportunities, and so I had forgotten a lot. And so as I was looking for a pharmacy and maybe a place to eat, I was getting turned around and said, Is that it? I think I even went into a store to see it was something completely different. I had misread the sign. And so as I was driving back, I eventually did find what I needed, but as I was driving back, I decided that, you know, I have to work a little bit harder on brushing up on my Spanish, because it took me a lot longer to accomplish the task. Why? Because I couldn't read the signs. I know when I think of this gospel today, I think of that experience, because to understand God's signs and messages in our lives, we really have to get to know Him and know the spiritual language that He speaks to us. You know, signs come from God in many different shapes and many different forms. Some can be quite obvious to us, and some can be easily missed if we're not paying attention or if we're not spiritually tuned in to God through our daily prayer. A lot of people ask me and have asked me through the last 17 years of my priesthood, is it okay to ask God for signs? Is that they do? Would that mean they're doubting their faith in some way? And I say, no, your faith is just fine. You're just looking for direction. And that's when it's okay to ask for signs, where when we're trying to discern His will for us, what He wants us to do today. Where should I go? What shall I do? All those things. God has always given signs to those who pray for direction. However, the answers and signs come to us not when we think they should come, but when the Lord feels the time is right for us, when we're open to receive them. Sometimes the sign has already been given, but our eyes need to be open to see it. For the Israelites, we hear about in our first reading, it was the manna in the desert. and the cloud of smoke that led them through the desert by day, and the pillar of fire that led them through by night. For the people of Jesus' time, the sign was the feeding of the 5,000 that we heard last weekend from several fishes and loaves, of course, along with his many other miracles and teachings. He tells us today that these are the works of God. These are the signs that you may believe in me, in the one whom the Father has sent. Without a doubt, the greatest miracle or sign in our world today is the bread from heaven that gives life to the world, as Jesus says. And we know that to be the Holy Eucharist, a true mystery of our faith and a true great gift of love from the Father in heaven. Jesus tells us today that he indeed is the bread of life. Whoever comes to me, he says, will never hunger or thirst for spiritual strength and comfort. Sometimes I get asked, well, you know, Father, I come every Sunday and I receive the Eucharist, and sometimes I feel God's presence and sometimes I don't. I know I believe in the real presence of Jesus, so that's not the problem, but I don't sense that I'm receiving any strength or comfort. In other words, what they're saying is, I'm not seeing the signs that I desire or need. And I just simply tell them that, well, perhaps your faith is strong enough, as in the case with many people, that they don't need to see signs. Jesus says, blessed are they who believe without seeing in another place. And so sometimes our faith is just fine. We don't need signs to build up our faith. But on the other hand, perhaps there's something getting in the way. Perhaps it's an unconfessed sin, or maybe a poor relationship with the Lord through a lack of our daily prayer, or perhaps one is holding on to resentments against a particular person that they need to forgive and let go of. All these things can frustrate the signs and the healing that God perhaps desires to send us at times, especially through the sacrament of the Eucharist. And so we have to prepare ourselves to always receive this great gift so that the Lord can truly become a part of us, taking a seat on the royal throne of our heart, to help us and to guide us through all the tribulations and the trials and temptations that we experience in life. And so today let us pray that in the busyness of our life, the Lord will help us to find the time we need to enter into a deeper relationship with him through prayer and the Eucharist and the signs that God gives us, that we may become more aware of the tender and loving voice of the Lord that seeks to guide our hearts.